May 12, 2023. It's the Walk for Pedro show. Walk for Pedro show. Gotta mute the motherfucker. 22 years, I'm still fucking blowing clamps. Happy Friday, people. You can hear probably I ain't man load mode, right? Because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me Janice, Eugene.
Hey.
And I should, Janice, Iran, how should I say it completely? Because after this, I'm just going to say Janice.
it's Janice Iron Fawn.
Okay. Janice Iron Fawn. A lot of letters there that are unfamiliar for Watt, but Watt is here to learn. That's why I was born. So, Janice, thank you so much for being a teacher. And also for bringing this music. And we got to thank Randolph for the connect. Much respect. Now, I want to learn about your journey through music. So please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, okay. So I grew up loving to sing. That was my first instrument was voice.
Okay.
And I'm not, theory doesn't make sense to me. I'm not one of those people who I've learned to read music and forgotten.
I'm going to get to that, but I want to
answer. Yeah, it's like, sorry, go ahead.
I want you to answer that question. First musical recollection. I'm going to get to your development and shit, but.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Some dudes, they'll tell me about hearing shit when they're inside their ma.
I mean, my childhood's real blurry, but I can clearly remember, being, I don't know, 13 at Jesus Camp, and it was, around that, 94, 95 summer of ska, and it had actually tipped over into, there was even quote, underground Christian ska, and learning about the fucking OC Supertones, and
also finally
Jesus Camp.
Finally, also with ska movement, even though it was brief,
yeah.
The guys in the school brass part of the bands could finally be in the rock and roll band.
Right.
So right. This pad, you grew up at, well. At the Jesus Camp, they have guitar, guitar mass or something like that?
Yeah, it was kind of they'd have an evening chapel sort of thing, but, it was a little bit rowdier than, the first hour or so would be a little bit rowdier. It'd be, more modern contemporary Christian music or whatever, just, on speakers.
Okay.
But then there was also, a worship sort of band afterwards.
Well, I was thinking, maybe they handed out guitars and you guys were all jamming on fucking guitar. I don't know.
If only.
Oh, if only. Okay, Well, the pad you grew up in. Now, you said your first instrument was your voice, but was there any instruments also in the pad?
Not really. My family isn't terribly musical.
Okay.
I was, yeah, like.
You know, you don't pick that shit, right?
Pastor and kind of everything is just evil.
Well, you don't pick. You know, you arrive, you open your eyes. Whoa, this is where I am. There's no instruments.
This
okay.
is what I have to work with.
Here, I'm curious. First record you bought with your own money.
I mean, it might actually have been No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tony, good bass player.
Probably in the first five, definitely, for sure.
And probably bad move that the singer's brother quits to animate for the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Right?
The guy who kind of shaped that record a lot of ways.
It happens, right? What about first gig you saw?
Ooh,
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no wrong answers.
No hard questions. The first one that wasn't something through church that was kind of mandatory was I went with my some friends from school and our Spanish teacher for some reason to go see Less Than Jake.
More ska.
More ska. Yeah, it's funny. There's very little ska in my game these days, but when I was 14, 15, that was everything.
Because, me, being born in 57, Sputnik, Space Race, sometimes things are out of your control. You just, right? It's a situation you find yourself in.
Part of the whirlwind happening around you.
So can I ask you, at school, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I did a cappella choir. I took some guitar classes. It was one of the few electives that wasn't agricultural because I was in a pretty small town.
Yeah. So, I think they call it vocational. I was an electric shop 3 hours. Get this shit. Using slide rules, right? Because it calculates a $400 or something.
Right.
We're fixing televisions. We're getting taught this and how to service machines that punch cards that run programs for mainframes.
Sure.
That is really useful.
Yeah, pre-COBOL, right?
Yeah, those were the only two. There was two languages, COBOL and Fortran. That was it. There was and no pewter sitting on your desk. It was all mainframe. So 4 hours for the turnaround and one syntax error, right? Kick it back up. Anyway, I don't mean to whine like that. It's just
no, you're good.
Situation, just situation. I'm curious. Did you end up getting your own guitar?
I did. I was like 16, 17. I got an acoustic guitar.
Did you get it or was it given to you?
I feel like it somehow came through school. I either got a loaner through school, or it was actually gifted to me. I can't really remember.
And did you trip on, like, man, why doesn't this sound like the records?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, everybody, right? It's like, even if you get electric guitar, because you ain't got those, well, maybe nowadays kids get those boxes, but in the 70s, we thought that was all like studio gimmicks.
Sure. Sure. A lot of things can affect the tone of something, even something acoustic. You know, I remember, like, one of the first songs I learned was Doll by the Foo Fighters, which is a little embarrassing now. But
no, that's okay.
Yeah, I just remember being like, I know I'm playing it right. Why doesn't it sound right?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. VHS tapes with, like, instructions. That was a trip. You could actually watch some dude's fucking hands.
What was the guy? Esteban?
Oh, yeah, right. With the flamenco hat and the hat
and all
I think
of the
he
things.
Wore a fucking cape, even. Right. Well, I'll teach you how to do it. You know, no problem. No fucking problem. So, let me ask you this. Afternoon, like after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band, did you get into shit like that?
Yeah, I had a couple of short-lived bands in high school. One was kind of through church. That seemed like the gateway was like, I would convince the parents that something was Jesus friendly and then I'd be allowed to do it.
Yeah.
So the first band was through church and it was a Christian band in theory only. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
What were they called?
Oh gosh. It was like something like the Jaywalkers, the Happy Jaywalkers. We argued about the name a lot. We played like three shows.
You know, Charlie Hayden.
Yeah.
My bass man, his son, Josh, had a band called the Treacherous Jaywalkers.
Oh, interesting.
He had me produce it. The first record kind of I ever produced. And, Josh Hayden, good cat. Hmm. So did this band, you said that you did three gigs. Can you remember the first one?
That would have been at church youth group.
And would you call it a success? What was it, pants shitter or what?
Do what?
Was it scary?
I feel like it must have been. I don't like clearly remember it, but I still have stage fright, so I can't imagine that was not a thing then, you know, with less experience, you know, like I still get a little bit of a flutter sometimes.
I shit a pecan log every fucking time. I've been doing this for, you know, way more than two-thirds of my life. I've never gotten used to it. I'm curious, the material. Were you copying songs off records or were you guys writing your own stuff?
We were mostly playing covers. We were trying to write our own shit, but it was kind of everyone's first band, so.
And was everybody pitching in on the songwriting, or were you the main songwriter?
It was kind of all pitched. At that point, I wasn't really playing well enough to feel, like, competent writing anything aside from lyrics, but.
Can you remember the first lyric you wrote?
I don't.
I've only wrote, this is how fucking pathetic 70s were. Yeah. I only wrote one fucking song. It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. And I can't remember it exactly, but bottom line was I'd do this bass solo and blow the rest of the band off the stage. So obviously I had issues. Yeah. Well, I found out bass is where you put your retarded friend. You know, I didn't. With arena rock. Not once movement came because everybody's
sure.
more equal. But in arena rock, man, you were there with the drummer and, like, I don't know, a little eugenics going on with the music hierarchy or some bullshit.
Right.
Even I remember reading Chico Hamilton not being able to get songwriting credit. I guess the notes are too short.
Sure.
So, you know, you gave me this tune here. H-E double nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Let's listen. Maybe I don't want to be saved.
Thank you. Rotten wood. Gross.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with entresol. I learned a new word, people. It's sort of like a mezzanine, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
See how fucking I'm expanding my fucking vocab?
Look at us go.
Anyway, H-E double nothing. After that, part 8 of Planet Chernobyl. This is an opera me and Petra Hayden, hey, Josh's sister, we did with Charlie Plamel's libretto from his poem. Brand new from Model Home. Great band out of the D.C. area. This tune's called Ghost. Then out of Russia, this guy, Andrei Guryanov, like the, I don't know, last 100 years of his country, he's made like 7-8 different parts for each section, and it's pretty heavy. And this is 1917 to 1918. Brand new. Thank you, Brother Tim, for flowing in. Midwife Invaya Melancholia. Brand new.
Midwife.
Yeah, yeah. Plague X. Yeah, it's a collaboration, right? Midwife. Yeah. Great singers. Jesus. Really good.
Oh, yeah.
And brand new from Shiverboard, Stain Remover. Kind of good singing. Moon X, this is new. Goblin, they're going to be on the show soon.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry King, yeah. Curse Alono after that with Pick Up the Pieces. Not the average white band. You know, you can't copyright a title, people. So you should hear the fucking Tripod Jimmy version of Autumn Leaves. They ain't sounding like no Perry Como. Gotta do what you gotta do. Bombus Prended, Numbered Bones. This band, D.C. area, and maybe 5-6 gigs, being together 40, 50 years, recorded like 9,000 songs. A trippy arc. Paranoid State out of the Netherlands. Self-Doubt, of course. What do you think it's a paranoid state? Finally, Enersol. Idyllic. That's optimistic. So to continue on your journey, so you got a big gig under your belt at this, with the Happy Jay Walkers. And you say this don't last long, this band.
No, it didn't last long at all. I would, the way I'm remembering it is like maybe a summer at the longest. But me and the guitarist, who he actually was a writer, he actually wrote songs. He's like kind of grew up on like Stevie Ray Vaughan and was very much a blues dude who had kind of found like dub and ska shit. He decided we were going to start a band and, called it Dub Riot, which is like hilarious because we mostly didn't play dub music.
Well, unfortunately for the bass player, I got to see a family man, Barrett with Bob Marley in 79. Yeah. He was bad. He was beautiful. The whole band was actually, you know, and Bob, his hair was like fucking snakes. He was dancing in the giant. It was great. I loved it. And a fucking basketball arena, but the mixer man got it. I don't know how. So, okay, do you remember, well, how long does this go? Do you remember the first gig? Do you remember the
yeah, we played like the county fair and shit like that. Like, we had matching jackets with our logo on the back.
Whoa.
It was cheesy, but it was
cool.
Well,
I'm thinking of the Ducks, too, you know, the college town, Eugene.
Well, so this was in a much smaller town, Madras, Oregon.
Oh, okay, okay.
Population maybe 5,000, so we're one of the three bands in town.
Right,
so,
right.
Even though you've got those, like, I'm new to this and I don't think we're good, I also think I'm hot shit because everyone likes our band because we're, like, the only game in town.
What do they call that? The big fish in the small pond.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Training for long-term, what's that? Fucking.
But you're playing the band leader's songs. You're not actually supplying. You're not supplying the material, though, right? You're playing
right.
The band leader's
songs. We, I think we maybe had four originals and then a set of covers that ranged from, like, 311 to, like, Sublime or something.
Oh, good. I thought you were going to say the Police.
Yeah.
Sublime. That's right across the bridge here in Long Beach. Those guys. I remember. Sure. That's a sad story. That guy could sing.
He could absolutely. Sing
Brad. Yeah. Yeah. So how long does this band go?
I want to say like a year and a half, maybe two. I'm actually still in touch with some of those guys, but we haven't like. yeah, like by the time I like left town for college, like band kind of was over.
Okay. And when you get to the college town, what is that, Eugene?
I went to a community college in Bend for like
Bend,
a year.
Bend, okay, by the border.
Yeah, just kind of fucked off and dropped out.
And then that's really east. That's a whole different part of Oregon that people probably don't even know.
People don't know there's desert in Oregon.
It's right, right. Washington State, too. It's rain shadow, right, people?
Yeah. You could, like, drive from, like, Tacoma to Spokane and film a video about, like, U.S. tourism and kind of cover almost everything.
Right. A lot of parts of that is no trees.
Yeah.
I know. It's fucking intense.
Fields and fucking crazy ravines and shit.
Yeah. So, when you get to this in band, do you get in another band? Because I'm thinking there's not a lot of reggae sound in this inner city.
Right. I mean, I got more into like punk and post hardcore and screamo during that area of my life. Also, like, that was kind of around the time that like that whole thing kind of had a resurgence, like the post hardcore thing.
Sure.
But yeah, I like kind of didn't really play music again for a long time. I didn't get into a band again until, gosh, like 2010.
Now, did the guitar just sit in the corner, or did you get it out and play it sometimes?
I'd kind of fuck around and play, like, my own little, like folk and folk punk songs, and just kind of never did anything with it. I got more involved in organizing shows and kind of infrastructure shit.
That shit's important, too, though, man. It takes a lot of people to make a gig. Yeah.
I became more of a fan and did some music journalism and...
And then what happens in 2010? You start going back to it.
Basically, I bumped into these dudes who already had a band going, and it wasn't exactly what I wanted to do, but one of the guys was just determined after he heard me saying, he's like, you should be in a band, you should be in my band. And I'm like, well, your band sounds like Tool, and I hate that. I was briefly in this band that, like, had an identity crisis, because at the time I wanted to fucking sound like Glassjaw, and they wanted to sound like Tool.
The horror.
Yeah, it was rough.
Okay, so I ain't even going to ask about those gigs.
Yeah, that band was called .08.
But you know what? Which is the fucking alcohol limit for getting arrested.
We were just a bunch of folks who worked in bars and were too drunk to play, usually.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but you know what? It's important because it gets you back into playing again.
Exactly.
So what happens after that?
And I kept just kind of fucking around with like false starts with people where like I don't always work real well with a group, and I know that part of that is my own, you know, like I'll have an idea and I have a hard time communicating it to those around me, and then I get frustrated. So like I hit this wall where I realized that I just needed to do shit by myself, at least until I reached the point of figuring out the literacy to communicate with a group. To like get the thoughts from the inside of my head to like make sense outside. So I just started fucking around with like building tracks alone, which meant I had to actually learn how to play instruments.
and learn how to record yourself. So what do you do with a 4-track or pewter software?
Yeah, it's mostly just like hardware into like a 4-channel mixer that I run into Audacity. It's like everything is free or basic, you know?
Yeah, I should tell the listeners, Audacity people is software that turns your computer into studio.
Yeah.
And also people use it for gigs, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Right. So it's not just recording, you can perform with this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you, now is this Intersol or is this just Jens on his own?
It's definitely the project that kind of became Intersol. For a little while I was just using my name.
Do you remember the first gig you did as your own name, Man Alone?
I think the first one I can remember off top was, the project was briefly called Not Counting the Mezzanine.
Great.
I spaced out. There was a period where it was me and another dude. I had literally brought someone in to play additional guitar, and he had to like kind of write second parts because I got asked to play this show. With this rockabilly band, the Sawyer Family. It was a weird fit. But the stage fright thing was such an issue that I'm like, I don't think I want to go up there by myself.
Right. So you bring in a collaborator.
Yeah, so my friend Brett Estep played additional guitar, and stuff that I wasn't capable of, he kind of brought into the project, where he would, like, play bowed guitar or bowed baritone.
And then for you being open-minded enough to let him, let his freak flag fly.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, I have this history of, like, things are really high concept in my head, and then when they go to come out, I'm like, well, I can play four chords.
Fucking TVI is one chord. Right?
Totally. It's like
Lime in the Coconut people. Is C7, one chord.
Sure.
You know, look, we're at the end of the first hour. I don't mean to flush the punch bowl, but May 12, 2023, edition Watt Pedro, so special guest Jen Zarin. Hold tight for hour two! May 12, 2023, second hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
Shadows cast by light, it's not our own. Something happened here. My hands are gnarled and they hunger still. Your hands are quiet. You are quiet. The hush is like remembering.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Reconditioning. An echo of dishwashing liquid in the cups of oolong tea we're serving. No clocks in the casino. No bathroom breaks on the job. Bound to the week. Charlie Cooper made his living selling antiqued items as genuine antiques. Grinning and glad-handed, eyes smiling in silent denial. Generously scented with royal cologne. A flock of red-winged blackbirds on the barbed wire fence behind the hay bales. Charlie called, offering me a day's work, cash off the books, 8 tons of rice, rejected by state regulators as insect infested. We ran it through some kind of heat cleansing process, sifted out the impurities, and repacked it for sale at dollar stores. No heroes. Fishing in the dark on the other side of dawn. The bus arrived from Peach Springs ahead of schedule, full of retirees and bored wives in their 40s and 50s, anxious to descend upon the antique malls, the casinos, and the curio shops. We've been given the general rules, broad explanation, but we waited for the exceptions to be explained away. Choose your battles. Wear the mask. Reflections on the water's surface. Shattered by insects swimming against the current. No escape from rebirth. Night vision deteriorated, as corroded as her sister's nose ring. I've opened my mouth, and I cannot go back. Brightness with no source of illumination. Neither subject nor object. Perpetual uncalculated life in the present. As permanent as the lifetime of the locust. The weary road winds upward all the way. Choose your battles. Wear the mask. Plotting her escape from the fortress of color and form, of late fees and eviction notices. Bound to the wheel. Painting the wind, prolonging the pause. The tracks are rattling. The train should be coming. Soon, I'm told.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Entresol. Handmade Flat Earth Collectibles. Then we had the Brendan Etter Ensemble. This is a drummer man leading a band, people. Actually, it's an old tradition. Gene Krupa, Louis Belson, shit. Sunlight Through the Leaves. Tragic Assembly F that out of North Carolina with 100 Perfect Snakes. Round Bhutan and Bill Shute with Reconditioning and Entresol. Hairless Little Anvil. So, your buddy last on guitar just one gig?
I think we played maybe four or five under that name.
Okay.
Yeah, I had like four songs that were kind of like, they ended up being like the first Entresol EP later. And I mean, it was definitely that thing where I just like, I realized that I kind of suck to work with and feel like weird ownership of things. And I basically was like, what if we don't play together anymore? And then went and recorded those same songs again myself. So I, you know, like sometimes I definitely feel like I still sort of have, we've talked and I've apologized, but I feel like I still owe that guy kind of like, I feel like I pulled the rug out from under his feet a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So there was probably no more gigs with him.
No. That was the end of that project.
But the name change, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And that also coincides with you and Man Alone. Okay.
Sure.
And tell me about your process about composing. Do you have a trove of lyrics? Do you have little demo things? Do you use voice memo on your leash, or what? How do you do it?
I mean, sort of all of that. There's, as you might kind of cull from hearing the shit, it's like, it's very patchwork quilt in its approach, and I usually have like a few hundred like voice recordings on my phone that I use for, you know, just like textures, layers. And I'll like have like a riff that I eventually am going to use, and I'll like kind of piece together a song. Sometimes things come together as like a whole piece kind of at once, but, it's usually a little bit more like audio collage. And then if there are lyrics, they get added after the fact.
Well, let me ask you about titles because we start off the second hour with a tune with a great title. And when do they come? I ask a lot of my guests this because I have a certain method.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to start with the title. And almost everybody I ask on the show, they say the title comes last.
I like that. Sometimes, I would say like 9 times out of 10, the title is there either before I create the song or well before it's done.
Ah, okay, so I'm not alone.
No, like sometimes I'll have like a title in mind and that'll dictate what the song ends up being about.
That's what I use it for, focus.
Sure, yeah, like I need some form of direction because everything else is so, I don't know, disjointed and disorganized, really. It feels that way to me. But this gives me kind of like a common thread of like, all right, this song, Perilous Little Anvil. Is
yeah,
really good.
I was just going to ask you, for example, Perilous Little Anvil. Right away, I got an image in my mind. So like you bring all your resources to aid and abet to fucking make that thing live, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, exactly, like that. That title is just like how I, in journal entries, had referred to a relationship. Like it's small and fragile and also like a fucking albatross. So
did you ever watch that show in the 60s? Of course, you probably weren't around yet, but it was from the 60s. It was from England. It was called The Prisoner. And there were 17 episodes, and one of them was Hammer into Anvil. Yeah, it's about some secret agent who wants to quit, and they send him to a little village because he knows too much. They want to find out shit. Yeah. So, but they have one called Hammer into Anvil, and the hard ass, you know, the butch guy, wannabe butch guy, he ends up getting broken by his own fucking scheme, whatever the fuck. Look, Lincoln Slough. I want to play that.
with each tick. One more trick gathered on.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Entresol doing Lincoln Slough. Then Oliver Mann and Stefano Pelia. Brand new from them, River Stones. Reynolds out of Argentina. Ronero Manila Dus. Ray Shin out of Reno. Spaz Odyssey. Not Jazz Odyssey. But that was the, what's his name? Derek Smalls, right? The bass man for Spinal Tap. I think that was his big opus, right? Was like Jazz Odyssey. But this is Spaz Odyssey. Yeah. And then Entresol with Tarnish 3 Domingo. Okay. Lightness.
Yeah.
To the, both those pieces.
Lincoln Slough, that's off of the first of two EPs that I did during lockdown, actually. The stuff I'd been creating right before that was basically death industrial. And then, you know, during this period where it's like, can't go anywhere, can't do anything, world's shutting down, everyone's fighting. And I'm like, I've got all this anger, and somehow it just keeps coming out as like making music for like self-soothing.
Right. Like
ambient shit. But yeah, so that it's called Lincoln Slough because all of the field recordings happen at this slough on Lincoln Street, very close to my home. I was going on walks at night, and I would just field record in a piece of the neighborhood or a part of the town within about a mile or so from my house, and then come home and add synth to complete a track. Just kind of initially as an exercise, but I ended up really liking the pieces.
And this is what you were referring to last time, last block of spiel. About mm-hmm. how you use your leash to capture. So, because I thought you were humming into the thing, but you're actually capturing sounds.
Yeah. Okay. There might be some humming here and there, but I definitely, I'll like, you know, I'll be at the bar sometimes, you know, like at work after close and like the way that like two particular glasses clinking together sounds, and I'll like do that a bunch or like roll it around on the bar. Just like, you know, field recording, you know, just capturing textures that'll like process them or not and layer them underneath the music, kind of create like a sound bed to build on.
Yeah, because everything's fair game, huh? It's getting sure. Very John Cage, you know, what is music?
Right.
Okay, Tarnish 3 Domingo. Was there a Tarnish 2? Was there a Tarnish 1?
Tarnish is actually like a 10-minute track that's it's my, or a 12-minute track. It's my side of a tour split cassette that I put out a few years ago with a friend called Mouth Mouth. We did like a 15-day West Coast run together, just the two of us in a car.
I-5 tour.
Sorry?
I-5 tour.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to try that this next tour. Steph tried to do the fucking whole country in one loop.
Yeah.
Two loops. Make an I-5 loop, then the rest of the fucking country.
Yeah, break it up.
Yeah, because that Rocky Mountain shit is far, a few gigs for a lot of miles. Whoa.
Absolutely.
But I love playing for everybody, but man, I'm 65 now, a little tough. So, that sounds like fucking whining. Sorry. But, you actually, this is for the merch table, or was it also the material for what you did when you performed that tour?
There was one portion of that tape that did end up being in my set for a while. It was mostly created for the merch table. It's funny because I think that, like, that actual piece, that my side of that split might be my favorite Entresol release. Like, I just feel like everything, like, it flows really well. It kind of nailed exactly what I was trying to do with the project at the time. Without being like, I don't know, too busy.
And do you remember when you were creating it? Did just everything fell into place and shit?
Yeah, I created that. It was maybe 2 days. It was like a weekend.
Wow.
I just kind of just sat down and was like at the computer for like 6 or 8 hours a couple of times. And it just sort of fell together. That particular like couple of years, there was just, I think I put out like maybe like 15 or 18 like self-issued cassette tapes, just cranking out content. It's definitely slowed down since then.
But that's a buttload. And what about that fucking medium too, cassette?
At the time, I was running a cassette label called Flossless Audio that has since just kind of become my production company, and I don't really release any
music. Are you aware of Al Margolis?
I don't think so.
Okay, this was a cat who was big in cassette culture in the 80s. And then he graduated to, like, CDR in the 90s. But it was people trading cassettes, you know? I mean, there's two ways of doing this, right? The mixtape, other people's songs. But then it's people, their own music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's a great fabric to connect curious minds.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got involved in some trading because, like, other small labels would do the thing where they're like, you trade, we'll give you five anything from our catalog. You give us five any of yours.
That's exactly what his paradigm is.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, May 12, 2023 edition of Wat Pedro Show. Special guest, Jens, Eugene. Hold tight for hour three. May 12, 2023, it's third hour, Watts and Pedro's.
I'm telling.
For Pedro show, start off the third hour on Tresol with Mortis and Tenon, then Beast View Mall. This is part one of two of Fata Morgana and label Rochester, upstate New York. I guess home of Xerox, right? Eastman Kodak. I got to share a stage with Sonny Scirocco. I talked to him before we played backstage. He's the most kind man. Beautiful guitar man. And then to another nod. And, you know, I fucked up because I was supposed to end that chunk with Body Void, but I put it'll be in the next chunk of music in the middle. So, you know, like 22 years still blowing clams. But please clear up this, the difference between Entresol and Body Void.
Oh, boy. Well, for one, people actually listen to Body Void. Body Void is like a crusty doom sludge band that I got kind of roped into a few years ago. I was a fan of the band already, and their bassist quit, and they happened to know that I played bass in a doom band, or had briefly. And they also knew that I could work remote, that I could take my job on the road. And they invited me to fill in on one tour, and it just kind of snowballed. So I've been in the band since early 2020.
And they're Eugene cats?
They're actually in Vermont now.
Jesus, that's the other side.
Yeah, so they were based in Oakland, and they kind of lost their bassist during the move to Vermont. Sort of. The two siblings who started the band are from out there, but they were going to school down in Berkeley. So when they relocated back home, the brother who had played bass, Parker Ryan, he opted to change life paths a little bit. He's teaching and writing and doing other stuff. So I got to join one of my favorite bands, which was like a fun surprise.
Yeah. Like me getting to do some gigs with Flipper.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, that was a mind blow. You know, when shit happens. Fuck. What about Stooges? Fuck.
Right.
Yeah. Shit happens like that. That's a mind blow. So very inspired, right?
Sure. I still get to have these weird moments on stage where I'm like, am I in this band? This doesn't, you know, it still doesn't feel real.
But you know, I want the listeners to know that, you know, a lot of the stuff we're hit over the head with, you're not a success unless you're calling all the shots. No,
sure.
Sometimes it's fucking happening when you join somebody else's band.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, this has been like a really interesting learning experience for me because on the records, I only do electronics. I only do noise and textures. And then, because we live 3,200 miles apart.
Right.
Willow, the guitarist, vocalist, Willow plays all the bass on the records. It's pretty much Willow's like creative project. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So the rest of us sort of like we're more live components. Eddie, the drummer, has been there since the beginning. But oftentimes we as a group kind of defer to what Willow has in mind because they write completed tracks and then bring them to us. Then I add electronics for the recording. But, it's been really good to like kind of navigate that the ownership feels with a project where it's like, well, I'm in it and I'm clearly welcome here, but like it doesn't have to be the me show, you know?
Right. And I don't think you can learn everything if you're always the boss.
No, exactly.
You're going to miss out on all kinds of shit because you always get your fucking way.
Yeah, sometimes your way is wrong.
I know, but like I said, there's all these like other, I don't know, social, what kind of, I don't know where they come from, but like, you know, you're a loser unless you're fucking telling everybody what to do. Bullshit.
All
I think life's more about taking turns.
Yeah.
Look, okay, I want to play you. I don't understand this title all the way, but Orthostice?
Orthostice.
Yeah.
It's an Infinite Jest reference, actually.
Oh, what's his name? The Big Fat Book.
David Foster Wallace.
David Foster Wallace, yeah. Somebody gave me this book, and I ain't been all the way through it, but there's a lot of good song titles in that motherfucker.
Absolutely.
Let's.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro. So last music for this edition. Start that chunk off with, yeah, big nod to David Foster Wallace with Orthostice. Entresol. Will Veeder after that. Here's some more Carbon Records from Rochester stuff. Those on staff. Hopefully not staff infection. Because you ain't getting rid of that shit, right? Body Void. Here, this is what I was supposed to play at the end of the last junk, people. Drown. This is and then self-scratching record, the Victoria Shen. She's got, yeah, these cements, a 10-inch, 7-inch, and a 33, you know, and they're all got different speeds. And she puts a stylus and she glues them to her fingernails. And, yeah, it's a trip. And then finally, Body Void again with Laying Down in a Forest Fire. So when was the last time you played with the Body Voids?
We actually, like, kind of recently did a European tour, kind of looping around mainland to end at a Roadburn Festival in the Netherlands.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Okay, so what's the plan there, to make a new record?
Yeah, we actually recorded with Ben Greenberg from Uniform back in January.
And when's that going to come out, this summer?
October.
Fall time. Yeah. You go to tour?
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a tour around it that's not, I don't know the timeline on that just yet.
They got to let you know, though. Sometime, right?
Yeah.
You can at least plan for it. Is there a website that we can learn stuff about Body Void from?
Yeah, at this point we kind of just have a Bandcamp, which is bodyvoid.bandcamp.com. Okay. We're on, you know, Instagram and Facebook. And
sure. And what about your Entresol? Does that have a web presence?
Yeah, yeah. It's on, I think it's Entresol PNW on Bandcamp.
People, Entresol WN?
PNW, I think. Hold on.
I don't know. You would know better than me.
You tell me what's my address. It's Entresol PNW.bandcamp.
So PNW, people. Pacific Northwest, get it?
It's a Brazilian DJ.
Oh, whoa.
After trying so hard to have a name no one else had, there's a Brazilian DJ who did one EP like 12 years ago.
Okay. Noted.
Now, from Spain.
And now it looks like the territory's charted out a little bit for Body Void. But what about Entresol? What's your plan with that, baby?
So I haven't done it much with it since COVID. I have like a Patreon and I kind of, you know, release the occasional tracks here and there. But I'm hoping to put out a new record in 2024. I'm kind of like starting to like work out like rough sketches for the next thing. But I want to take my time with this one. I used to kind of write and record at breakneck speed, and I'd like to, you know, spend the better part of a year on a record and include collabs with friends and actually shop it around. Because with Entresol, it's always been like, as soon as things are done, I'm like, it's live. It exists. Here it is.
You're talking about those 15 cassettes.
Yeah, exactly. and part of, like, that's been really good. It's like, you know, like, helped me, like, let go of the idea of things being perfect. And
Sure.
But the other side of that is then having whole releases that I want to take down off the internet later.
Look, I want to put an invite out.
That's the albums you can't find anymore.
Jens, I want to put the invite out. When you do get this Entresol album done, will you come back on the show and we can play it? And invite also to the fucking Body Void people. If you want to bring them on, we could do group chat thing via Skype and rap.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So just let me know.
See about twisting their arms.
Twist their arm, twist their neck. You know, neck tourniquets help, right? Neck tourniquets. Got to save the arm, right?
Right. Yes, we need those.
It's been beautiful having you aboard. Thank you so much, truly.
Can't wait to have you back.
Okay. People, May 12th, 2023, this is what Pedro should keep you powdered up.